Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. Never. Ever before have we seen anything like this at all. That's what me and my buddies were saying when we saw what Jesus did that day. We've been hearing about Jesus for quite a while. We'd heard a lot of the things he had done. And to be honest, it was kind of hard not to hear about some of these things. He'd been doing some pretty amazing things, some pretty powerful things. Maybe you've heard about some of the things that Jesus had been doing. I'd heard about the things he'd been teaching, how he had said that he was the fulfillment of the law of Moses, which is a big claim. I'd heard about all the miracles, about the guy who'd gone through the roof and he'd been raised to walk on his feet, and he'd had his sins forgiven as well. I'd heard about all these miracles that had happened, and me and my buddies, we wanted to know more. We wanted to know what this guy was on about for ourselves. We wanted to see him for ourselves. And that's how I ended up in the crowd that day, following Jesus to see, well, what would happen next. And that day was really significant for me, because that was the day when it all started to make sense. On that day, I finally started to realize what it took, what Jesus was on about, who he was. And you know what was required to help me see who this Jesus was? Some blind guys. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Let me tell you what happened that day. It had been a busy day for Jesus, and you might know what happened earlier on that day, that he'd actually healed two people. One of them was dead. This little girl was dead. And he'd been to our synagogue leader's house, and he'd raised this girl to life. And while he was on the way there, a woman had touched him, and her bleeding had been dealt with. And we were in that crowd that day and following Jesus around. And after these things happened, Jesus moved on and went to another place. We followed him with the crowd, the throng that was around him. What would happen next, we wondered. Well, among our number, this great crowd that was following after Jesus, were two guys who suffered from blindness. I felt sorry for these guys. We knew them, we saw them around. It wasn't easy for guys like this to get by in this world in which we live. And here they were, among the crowd, stumbling along as best they could, trying to keep up, and they were shouting at the top of their lungs, loud voices. They were calling out these words, "Have mercy on us, Son of David. Have mercy on us, Son of David." Over and over again, calling on him as he kept on walking, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And Jesus didn't respond to their cries straight away. He just kept on walking. And he went inside a house, and there we kind of all squashed around, and these blind men kept coming. They came to Jesus, and Jesus turned and looked at them. And he said to them asked them this question. It was a really searching question. "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Without hesitation, these men responded, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus reached up and touched their eyes. And then he said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And just like that, they could see. And then Jesus did this thing, which I thought was quite strange at the time. He warned them. He was very stern with them. He said, "See that no one knows about this." I couldn't really understand at the time why he said that, and I think it's taken a while for me to work that out. But it's clear now what he was trying to do. He was trying to avoid people getting the wrong impression. He wanted people to understand who he was, but in his way, at his time. And so he warned them not to tell anyone what had just happened to them. And yet, whatever Jesus' motivation or intention was for doing this, whether they really heard what he was saying, so excited they were that they could now see, we know what they did. They blabbed. They blabbed like breakfast TV hosts. They just went out and talked about what this Jesus had done for them. And we'd seen it, but everyone else was hearing about it. And out they went speaking and rejoicing and telling everyone what had happened. And as they went out speaking, a man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. This guy had a real problem. He was unable to speak, but he was unable to speak because of a demon. And just like that, Jesus drove that demon out, and this man could talk again. Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel, we said. With our mouths wide open, looking at each other, going, this is amazing. This is astonishing. This is incredible. What are we witnessing here? Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. That's what we're all saying to each other. All of us except for a little group. Over there in the corner, there was a little group of people, the Pharisees. They weren't saying this. They were saying something different. It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons, they said. Satan's behind this, they said. And they kept on saying this kind of thing over and over again. Satan's behind this. This isn't good. This is evil. By the prince of demons, he drives out demons. That's what I saw that day. And as I was there taking all of this in, wondering what it all meant, I realized something. I realized this, that there today, that there on that day, were two different kinds of blind men. And I'll tell you about these two different kinds of blind men. First, there was the physically blind men, the obvious ones, the people who couldn't see with their eyes. But these physically blind men could see who Jesus really was. That's what I came to realize. The blind men, they really believed that Jesus was the Son of David. You know when they cried out those words there, have mercy on us, Son of David. Have mercy on us, Son of David. Those words, they really struck me. Not because they were unfamiliar, but because they were so familiar. Because they made so much sense to me. I knew what they were saying when they said those words. Have mercy on us, Son of David. I being a Jew, knew full well what was being said. The Son of David was the promised Messiah, the long-awaited deliverer, the king from the line of David who was going to come and restore God's people to rule over us. The great King David, you know King David, you've heard of King David. King David was promised by the prophets that he would have a line that would endure. 2 Samuel chapter 7, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. That is God's promise to our ancestor, to the great King David. And so we were all waiting for this king to come, this king who would sit on the throne in this way. In fact, we weren't just waiting for him, we were longing for him. We were desperate for him to come. And so the question was this Jesus really the Son of David? This Messiah that we've been waiting for so long? Well, the blind men definitely thought so. Now, our prophet Isaiah, he said something about this as well. He declared that when the Messiah comes, this is what was going to happen. Isaiah 35, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. This was what was going to happen in this messianic age as the Messiah comes, as God brings about this newness that was to come with this king. These were the kind of things that were going to happen. The blind men knew that. If this was the Son of David, the one who was going to bring this wonderful age, this messianic age, then he was the one who had the power to bestow all the blessings of this long-awaited age. If he was the Son of David, then he had the power to give the blessings. And so they were sure that Jesus was the Son of David, and they called out to him for mercy. And when Jesus asked them whether they believed that he could heal them, they answered emphatically, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That took me aback a little bit. They'd put their faith in him without question, believing he could heal them precisely because he was the Son of David who had the power and the authority to do such a thing. Now, were they desperate? I'm sure they were desperate. These guys lived a pretty difficult life around us. Was Jesus their last resort? Yeah, well, maybe that's true. But it wasn't just that. You see, like me, they'd heard all about what Jesus had done. And ironically, they had seen far before I did that this Jesus was the one that we'd been waiting for. They knew that Jesus had the power and the authority to meet their need, to restore their sight. And their faith in Jesus was vindicated and they were healed. According to your faith, Jesus said. According to your faith, let it be done to you. Because you believe, since you believe, your request is granted. Though they had never seen him, they had seen him for who he was. This blew me away. They had received spiritual vision before they'd received physical vision. The blind men could see who Jesus was. But yet there was another group of blind men there that day. The spiritually blind. Those who fail to see who Jesus really was. I don't know if you've ever had in your culture, whether you get conjunctivitis, an infection which means you go to bed fine and you wake up in the morning and your eyes are stuck shut. Well, these Pharisees in this story, they were meant to be the spiritual leaders in our community. But they actually had a terrible case of spiritual conjunctivitis. Their eyes, their spiritual eyes were stuck shut. I mean, like me, they had seen something so incredible. They'd seen this power of Jesus expressed in these ways and in other ways as well. Two blind guys healed. A guy who was possessed by a demon, mute, unable to speak, given the gift of speech, and the demon is driven out in an instant. And then you take all the other things that we remember from what Jesus had already done before this time. He'd walked on the water. He'd done so much other amazing stuff. And we remember the authority and the truthfulness of his teaching. Some of those things he said were so powerful. And the compassion that he showed to people. And the consistency and the goodness of his character. He was faultless. So what conclusion would these men come to on the basis of all of this evidence, everything that Jesus had done? It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. I mean, seriously, do they really mean this? Can they really come to that conclusion? Were they that spiritually blind that they could possibly attribute all of the life-changing, compassion-filled, power-charged works of this man to Satan? They might have had eyes that worked, but in fact they were completely blind. Their eyes were stuck shut. And they refused to open them to see and to acknowledge what was really happening before their eyes and who was really behind it all. And as it turned out, they were so blind that they kept on holding this hostility towards Jesus more and more as time went on. You know, I realized that day that there was two different kinds of blind people there. One of them could see Jesus for who he was, but the others refused to. One of them was right, and one of them was wrong. And as I came to realize this, I realized, well, something has happened in me. Something happened to me that day. I realized that as I'd watched all of this unfold and I'd mulled it over in my mind, that something had happened to my eyes, to my spiritual eyes. I realized that my eyes had been opened to see Jesus for who he really was as well. The very fact that I could declare that the blind men were right to call Jesus the Son of David and the Pharisees were so wrong, so very wrong, meant that something had changed inside of me. It was as though Jesus had touched my spiritual eyes when he touched the eyes of those blind men. And the light had shone into my heart for the first time, and I saw him for who he was. This was no demon-inspired fraudster. This was the long-awaited Messiah, and I could see it. What I saw that day convinced me of this truth. Now, I should say this. I didn't completely understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah right then and there. I believed that he was the Son of David, but as I followed him over the next years, I realized what it meant for him to be truly the Messiah. And it was very different to what I was expecting. I definitely didn't expect that the Messiah would be arrested and murdered by the very people he'd come to deliver, and that he would rise from the dead 3 days later. This was not what I expected. And yet this is what happened. And all of it, it turns out, was necessary so that Jesus might be the true Son of David who reigns eternally and offers us deliverance, not social deliverance or political deliverance or even a deliverance from our physical ailments necessarily, but deliverance that is far greater. The Son of David offering true eternal deliverance from the power of Satan, from the curse of sin and from death. It took me a while to realize all this. I certainly didn't get it all that first day when I saw this miracle. But that's how I came to understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Son of David, that we, and in fact the whole world, had been waiting for. My eyes had been opened to see Jesus for who he is. So that's my story. I want to ask you tonight, what about you? What's your story? Have you seen Jesus for who he really is? Have your eyes been opened? Have you seen what Jesus did? Not just for those blind men, not just for that mute guy, which I saw, and you can see that. Have you seen not just what he's done for them, but what he has done for you? You know, the way I see it, in the end, all of us are either like the blind men or the Pharisees. Either we'll see Jesus for who he is, or we'll refuse to acknowledge him. Now you might say, oh, but hang on, I'm not saying that Jesus is the Son of David, but I don't think I'm a Pharisee either. I don't think they were right to call him devil-inspired. I think they were wrong, but I just don't think he's the Messiah King who can save me from my sins and who deserves my whole allegiance. Isn't there another option? And I'm convinced that the answer is no. There's no other option. Either you see Jesus for who he is, or you're a Pharisee. It might be true that you've got a bit more respect for Jesus than the Pharisees. It might be true that you've got a bit more time for him and you kind of like what he has to say. But if you fail to see him for who he is, then you remain spiritually blind. Full stop. End of story. You're blind. And if that is you, then you need your eyes opened as much as the Pharisees, just as much as I did before I came to see Jesus for who he is. Is this you? Are your eyes stuck shut? Or have you seen Jesus for who he is? Do you come here often? Every Sunday, do you come here? Do you think it's possible to read with your eyes and hear with your ears all the stories of what Jesus did, but never really see him for who he is? Never really acknowledge him as the Son of David, the Messiah and King. I can assure you that it is possible. In that crowd around me were many that day who saw everything that I saw, who could see compelling evidence that this man was the one that the blind guys had said he was. And they walked away unchanged. Their eyes had not been opened. Maybe they weren't as hostile as the Pharisees, but they still refused to see Jesus. Their spiritual eyes remain stuck shut. It's possible to see Jesus, but never really see him for who he is. Is this you? Or are you like the blind guys? Have you come to the point where you realize that Jesus, and only Jesus, is the one who has the power and the authority to help you in your great need? That you have a far deeper problem than physical blindness that you need Jesus to deal with. That you need Jesus to have mercy on you. Have mercy on me, Son of David. Is that your cry? We all need Jesus to deal with our deep sin problem. When I saw Jesus that day and saw what he did, I realized how he had dealt with the need of those men. But as I followed him and understood him more over the years, I realized that there was a much deeper problem in me that needed to be dealt with. And I know that Jesus has dealt with that problem. He opened my eyes to see that I needed him, that I needed to put my faith in him as the only one who could deal with my deep sin problem. And tonight Jesus says to you, as he said to the blind men, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can deal with your greatest need once and for all?" And if your answer is, as those guys said, yes, Lord, we believe that you can do this. And he says to you, according to your faith, let it be done to you. That is, if you believe, if you trust him, he will deal with your deepest need. Know that you can and you will experience the blessings that Jesus, the great promised Son of David, the Messiah, has made available for us. The blessing of the forgiveness of sins, the blessing of life forever with him. These are ours if you trust in him. But first you must see him for who he is. Have your eyes been opened? Has your spiritual blindness been dealt with? We're all born blind. Has your spiritual blindness been dealt with? Or are you still in the dark? Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. That's how we felt when we saw what Jesus was doing. But now I'd say this. Nothing like this has been seen ever. Ever. In all of history, nothing like this has ever been seen. No one like this has ever been seen. No one has ever done things like this. There will never be again someone like Jesus. Never will you or I see someone with such divine power and such authority doing such amazing things. And that's the Jesus I saw that day. Have your eyes been opened so that you might see him and respond to him? Let's pray that they will be. Heavenly Father, touch the eyes of our hearts so that we might see Jesus for who he is. The Son of David with power and authority to deal with our deepest need. Overcome any spiritual blindness that remains in us here tonight. Show us who Jesus is. Help us to place our faith in him alone. We believe that you have the power to do what you have promised. And we thank you for the blessings that are ours because of Jesus. We praise you. Amen.